Trying to grab all the groceries in one trip? Oof, not how you would have done that. You know sometimes less is more. Like when you drive less and save with the USAA annual mileage discount. USAA, get a quote today.
Please stand clear of the doors.
Hey guys, on the monorail. Can't wait to head over to Animal Kingdom and see the characters from the Jungle Book.
I can't wait to go on It's Tough to Be a Bug.
That's one.
Why is that?
Because I love getting out of the heat and resting my feet.
I like that little butt poke at the end. It always scares me. Catches me off guard.
That's one.
Joe, what are you talking about over there?
I'm just counting all the magic points that I'm giving out, guys. Come on.
You gave that guy eating ice cream a magic point?
100%. I love ice cream. Welcome to episode 157 of the Diz His Podcast. I'm Joe.
I'm Alex.
I'm Chris.
Today we'll be giving the his on the Jungle Book. Right now we are recording live for our Groove Troop members. If you want to watch us live, all you have to do is go to our website, DizHis.com, and you will find the link at the very top. As well as seeing our beautiful faces, you will be entered into our lovely giveaways. We have given away signed comics, wax melts, Disney merch, Diz His merch, and many other things. You also get access to our Groove Troop chat where you can interact with us and our other Groove Troop members. We have daily Disney-themed questions, plus our live shows are kind of messy. You know, we're kind of having fun today a little bit. So if you want to go ahead and join us, all you got to do is go to DizHis.com. You can join for like $2 a month. $2 a month, not even a day. $2 a month. So yeah, go ahead and check it out.
Like a fun cult.
Yeah. And also, cults are fun sometimes, right?
I think so.
And also, if you want to share a memory with us, and we'll share it on the pod, possibly, call us at 707-842-0345. And guys, do you hate it when you open your email and there's no emails? Do you hate it?
Yes.
Well, guess what?
Yeah, I like it, actually.
Well, I don't like it. And that's what I'm getting on DizHisHistory@gmail.com, is no emails.
It's because you did such a good job, man.
I've told people to email us ideas, issues, things we haven't said.
Well, pow!
Guys, emails at DizHisHistory@gmail.com. Or
do it.
If you don't have anything to contribute, just send me a hey. Just say, hey, yeah. Hey, this is how my day
say,
was going.
Say, hey, Alex.
Yeah.
And if you guys didn't notice, Jen's not here today, right?
Yeah,
she's not here. A little busy.
She's not here to wrangle us all in.
Yeah, so she's not going to be here today. She is busy packing. I guess her son has like a trip to go on. We're going to talk about the Jungle Book, right?
Oh, I don't read.
Yeah. You don't read, but we're talking about the cartoon Jungle Book, the movie, which you guys actually like this movie, right? I'm not a huge fan of this movie.
No.
Neither is Scott. Scott's not a huge fan. I mean, it's a good movie. I mean, it's all right. It's not like my favorite movie, I would say. This is not a movie where I'm like, hey, guys, you know? You didn't even say, who's writing that name?
Dane.
Dane, I like how your email.
You know what I love, Joe? I love when you stop mid-sentence because that's really easy to edit.
Dane, that's really good. Just leave it in. We can actually leave that in. This can be our monorail segment. It's going to be like, hey, guys, welcome to the monorail. And then we just go into something else, totally, you know? But yeah, I'm not a big fan of it. What do you guys think of The Jungle Book, Chris?
You just told everyone for us.
You know, there's nothing better than smelling that Disney smell.
If it's walking into your favorite Disney resort or entering your favorite Disney attraction.
Three Cheeky Chicks Wax Company offers an array of Disney-inspired scents in their home fragrance line, wax melts, scented candles, and room sprays. To bring your favorite Disney scents to your home, check them out at magicallyscented.com.
Hey guys, want to hear something cool? Do you want to be part of the Goof Troop? Our Goof Troop is the best and a way to help support the show. You get access to our wonderful giveaways, Discord, which is fantastic, and you can join for only $2 a month. In our Discord chat, you can interact with the hosts and some of our great members. There are Disney-themed games in our chat, streams from the park, we have a special Spotify playlist, and overall, just have a lot of fun. You also get access to our live shows, which can sometimes be a little crazy. Once again, help support the show for as low as $2 a month and join the Goof Troop. Just go to DizHis.com and on the top, there is a link.
Check us out streaming on award-winning Disney streaming site Sorcerer Radio on Fridays at 1 p.m. Eastern Time or catch us again at 8 p.m. Eastern Time.
Sorcerer Radio is an amazing 24/7 Disney radio. Just visit srsounds.com or download the Sorcerer Radio app.
I mean a doobie 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 dee doo. Yes, it's a doob doob dee doo doob 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 dee doo doob doob dee doo doob 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 dee doo doob 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 dee doo doob doob dee doo doob doob doob. Yes, it's a doob doob dee doo doob 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 dee doo.
Let's get to the His on the Jungle Book.
What have we here?
The Jungle Book is an animated film produced by Walt Disney Productions. This comedic musical was released in the theaters in 1967 and became a huge success. It has since spawned a sequel, multiple TV shows, characters being used for different shows, movies, and Jungle Book-themed toys, games, and clothes.
We haven't done a rubric in a bit. It has been a bit since we've done a rubric.
We so did it last week.
Yeah, but we didn't, we didn't really do it. So let's refresh people on what a rubric is. So we have a rubric that tells us, kind of lets us go off point system to figure out how we like something, other than just giving it, let's say I just give it a 9.5 because I love it so much. But the rubric actually makes us give details and information that backs up our numbers. So the first question is, rate the quality of the movie. How good of a story is it? So 3 is the highest, 0 is the worst. 3 would be a gold standard. 2 would be it's really good. 1 is great or okay. And 0 is very disappointing. Joe, since you are the non-Jungle Book person, go ahead.
I'm going to say it's good. 1. I give it a 1. It's good.
You give it a 1?
Yeah, man, it's not great.
Oh my God, you're gonna feel like an idiot after the history.
Why?
Oh, you'll understand.
Okay,
I guess
we'll find
Chris,
out.
Chris, are you writing? I'm gonna give it a 1. You writing these numbers down for me?
No, I don't know how to write.
I don't have a pen near me, so I can't write these down.
All right, so Joe.
Joe gave it a 1, and okay. I'm going to give it a 3 because it's
a 3. The animation, one of the best.
When we get to the history, you'll understand what I'm talking about, but. Again, it was released in 1967. Is it 7?
1967. Yeah.
1967. The animation that it has matches, you know, like 80s, 90s animation. And it was 67. So, I mean, that's very good. Go ahead, Chris.
This is the gold standard. 1967 putting out stuff like this. This was the gold standard. It is one of the best. And it paved the way for a lot of other films. So yes, 3.
Yeah. And
so you guys hope you guys are out of control. This says story. How good is the story? Right?
No, this
is quality of the show.
That's number 1, quality. Number 2 is a story. So let me read number 2 for you, Joe. Number 2 is how timeless is the story? How good is the message? Can it last forever? So 3 is timeless, 2 is long lasting, 1 is shows its age. 0 is should be not useful anymore. Go ahead, Joe.
I'm gonna go with 2 on this one. I think it's long lasting. It's still kind of relevant. People still like it. Obviously, you two guys like it. So I'm gonna go long lasting. I think. I guess I need to watch it again. I haven't watched it in a while. I guess I definitely need to watch it again.
You definitely need to watch it again. And I'm actually gonna give it a 2 as well because there's a lot of things comparable to it. Which I don't think it's timeless because, like, there's Tarzan, there's Mowgli, there's other stories that are similar. Now, most of the stories came off of this. They're not the originals. Jungle Book is. So I wouldn't say this is a timeless thing. Go ahead, Chris.
I'm trying to even remember what the Jungle Book was about. Like, the story.
Are you lying? Are you joking right now?
No.
Are you serious?
I really enjoy the music, and I really enjoy watching a bear run around the woods.
This is my favorite movie. But I don't remember
the story.
Like, do you really want me to refresh you right now?
Yes, like 30 seconds.
Mowgli.
I know. Okay, so like I know Mowgli's raised by wolves.
Yes,
I know that he is.
Getting older, and they think he should live with the villagers because he's getting older. And Shere Khan says he can't live with the wolves anymore because he's a man. So.
They're going to transport him to the village where he will be safe.
Right. It's like, what's the story?
That is the
story. What's the meaning? Like, what's the message? Because it says I have a good message. What's the message?
Message is
The deep message is you're a grown boy.
I'm not a deep message kind of guy. I don't. So
you're coming over to my
things.
Side. You're coming over to my side.
I don't analyze things. I just enjoy what they are.
I don't think this has a great message.
All right.
So I'm gonna go.
Just say a one. Just do it, Chris. Just say a one.
Give it a zero, man.
Wow. Am I gonna give this a one?
Just do it. Just get it over with.
If we're talking about the original Jungle Book, I'm going to give it a one.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah, the original one.
The original Jungle Book, you're talking about, so you're kind of comparing it to the movie, the live action movie then.
Yeah, which because they had to change a lot for the live action movie because a lot of the stuff was not relevant.
Number three, how badly do you want to watch it again? Three is can't wait, two is excited, one is willing, and zero is I won't watch it again. Go ahead, Joe.
One, I'm willing to watch it. I'm going to watch it. I want to watch it. So right. I wouldn't say I'm excited, like I'm super excited or I can't wait, but I'm willing
to eventually. Okay. I give it a two. I would be excited if my kids say, hey, you want to watch a Jungle Book? I would be excited to put it on. I'm not going to be like, let's watch a Jungle Book every night. But if my kids are like, hey, can we watch a Jungle Book? I'd be like, yeah. Go ahead, Chris.
Okay. I give this a three. This is definitely one of my favorites. I really enjoy the music from it. Try and stop me, I guess, right?
Try and stop me watching a movie I hate the story to.
I just don't. Listen, I don't understand.
He likes the songs. He likes the songs.
So just listen to the music. You don't have to watch the movie for the music.
Yeah, just Spotify.
Yeah.
Apple Music.
Spotify. I have Apple Music.
Okay, number four is, does it have a magic point? I'm guessing Joe's going to give us a no magic point.
No, I am going to give it a magic point. I'm going to give it a magic point.
Disney made it. They're magical.
Dude, well, hold on one second. So first off, right, let me explain. I don't even understand why I have to explain my magic point, but I'm going to, right? So first off, Alex is dying, I think. Look at him. So the reason why I give it a magic point is because the characters in the movie, right, they're kind of rare to see around the parks. And so one time we were kind of walking around like a special event, and we saw King Louie and Baloo there, and they were in like Hawaiian outfits, and that's like rare to kind of see at the parks. I got to take pictures of them, and so that's the reason why I'm kind of giving it that magic point, because there's that special connection that I have with some of the characters from Jungle Book. So yeah, I'm gonna give it a magic point.
Joe'd be like, Joe, would you give Cinderella a magic point? Well, actually,
Cinderella's castle. Yeah,
I
lost
one of my shoes one time, and I tried to put it on, and it fit just right. So that connection to Cinderella. Yes, so I would give Cinderella a magic point.
Yeah, I would give Cinderella a magic point. Why would you not? Listen, I own that magic point, but go ahead. You guys go ahead. I don't give you guys a hard time about your ratings.
Okay. I also give it a magic point. Chris, do you have a magic point?
Yeah, it's super nostalgic for me between just growing up watching it a lot and then playing the video game as well.
Yeah. So what is our total scores?
Joe gives this a 5.
Wow.
That's not terrible.
That is one of
that's
his lowest.
Terrible.
It's horrible.
It's definitely one of my lower
ones. That is one of
Alex
his lowest.
Alex gives it an 8.
That's it.
And I give it a 8. I think an 8 is fair.
Yeah, 8 is pretty fair.
Yeah.
But wow, just an 8.
So that's really interesting because that's one of your higher ratings, Alex.
Yeah, an eight is a high rating for me. Yeah, a 9 is really high and a 10 is never going to happen. Joseph Kipling was of English descent, born in British India in 1865. He was a professional writer, poet, and novelist. He moved to England while he was a child, but returned to India as he approached adulthood. He eventually lived in Canada, England, and America. It was in Vermont that Kipling wrote during a winter storm in 1892. In his cabin with his family, he wrote Tales of an Indian Forest, with one of these stories containing a boy who was brought up by wolves. In 1893, Kipling published a collection of stories called Many Inventions, with a short story named Into the Rook. This story tells of Mowgli as a young man, being recruited into the British Army. He eventually gets married and joins the civil service. This leads to Kipling elaborating on Mowgli's upbringing, which are the stories that the first movie is based on. These stories were first published in a magazine in 1893. Kipling was a well-known author, and his new Jungle Tales with talking animals enthralled both the young and the old. Many of Kipling's readers knew nothing of India and were learning of the land and its creatures through his stories. In 1894, most of Kipling's stories of Mowgli and the jungle were compiled into the first edition of The Jungle Book, which was published as a children's book. The second Jungle Book was published the following year, with 5 more stories of Mowgli and 3 additional tales. Kipling's popularity reached new heights with the success of The Jungle Book. His stories influenced an entire generation of authors. One of these influenced people was Edgar Rice Burroughs, the author who created the character Tarzan. In 1907, Kipling was rewarded with the Nobel Prize for Literature. In 1942, an independent live-action film was released by the Hungarian Korda brothers, based on a screenplay of Kipling's The Jungle Book. The movie was nominated for 4 Academy Awards.
So this story does have a lot of history, right?
Yes.
And it can, I mean, I can't believe there are so many mini stories based on Jungle Book.
Yeah, my favorite Jungle Book story actually is not the original. The one that was adapted to the movie. You talked about the story. I'm sorry. Oh, okay. The story tells of Mowgli as a young man being recruited into the British Army. That was in 1893. A few decades later, my favorite mini story was Mowgli and the Assassination of Austrian Archduke Franz Ferdinand.
Who wrote that one?
Same guy.
You're lying, right?
Mm-mm.
No, I can't tell if you're being serious.
One of the best World War I novels of all time.
But it wasn't Mowgli.
Yeah, Franz Ferdinand killed Bagheera. So
what are you talking about?
Mowgli goes to war was a story. Like I didn't like. So we see Mowgli grown up by wolves, and now he's recruited by the British Army.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know that's not unusual for stories like this, right? Because there's a lot of war propaganda that usually comes from these characters that are popular at the time, right? Mm-hmm. Wasn't like Donald Duck in many war propaganda shorts and stuff like that?
Yeah, but this is right. Short story.
Do you see where I'm going with this? I mean, I feel like if there's like a popular character at that time,
but he wasn't popular.
That they use those characters, huh?
He wasn't popular. This is his that was his first writing of Mowgli. Before he became,
I mean, it's obvious it had to be unknown. Some type of popular if he made multiple of him. I mean, people were reading it. People were interested in it, right?
Well, he made multiple shorts, and then they made it into a magazine, and then they put it into a book. But before happened was the Into the Rook, which was him as an adult.
Mm-hmm.
So he wrote that short.
I mean, people obviously liked him though because they liked the story of the Jungle Book because it was nominated for 4 Academy Awards. I know not at that time were like the original writings or whatever, mm-hmm. right? But people, they had some type of connection to Mowgli.
Oh, yeah. Obviously. After he released the original novel or short stories, and then, someone made a live action movie, which did well, he became popular. But the story of him as an adult was written before the short stories were written. Did you guys know? So, interesting history, I thought. I mean, it's kind of obvious when you think about it that the person who wrote the character of Tarzan was inspired by Mowgli. It's kind of obvious now, but
yeah.
I didn't know that.
Because like the same character.
Right, but I didn't know that was a true fact. I just figured, because there's a lot of things that come out around the same time that are similar. But no, this guy was like, I wrote Tarzan because I was inspired by Mowgli.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of crazy.
That's part of the reason why I gave it such a high ranking on its impact, because I mean that's crazy that you have a movie like this that and I know when we get more into history we'll learn more, but yeah, it inspired Tarzan, which obviously became a huge, huge hit, huge story. So,
and you know, there's a movie with Howie Mandel where he is he's raised by wolves. I'm gonna look at the name of it right now. Have you guys seen it? Walk Like a Man, it's called. 1987 American comedy film directed by Melvin Frank, starring Howie Mandel. The plot concerns a young man who finally returns to his high society family after being raised by wolves. It's pretty good.
Okay.
What's so funny about that? I mean, it's related. It's related to what we're talking about.
It sounds fake, but I guess it's real.
Yeah,
Howie
Mandel
one of your favorite actors?
He's probably top 7.
Yeah, Jungle to Jungle. That's a great movie. I love that movie.
Yeah, exactly, right? That's with JTT, Jonathan Taylor Thomas. That's another one's kind of like... So
no.
You're saying that... Yeah, it is.
No, it's not.
Jonathan... No, it's not.
It was 1963 when Disney released the animated classic The Sword and the Stone. After release of The Sword and the Stone, Bill Peet told Walt that he wanted to make an animation with more interesting animal characters and suggested Kipling's The Jungle Book. Bill Peet wrote the stories for 101 Dalmatians, The Sword and the Stone, and worked on classics like Fantasia, Pinocchio, and Dumbo. Disney agreed, and Pete got to work on the pitch. He had very little supervision, very similar to the method used for 100 Dalmatians in The Sword and the Stone. But with The Sword and the Stone failing to impress, Walt decided to be more involved with the creation of the new animation. Walt became a key influence in the story and how it developed, so much so that Walt didn't want the story to follow the mood of the book. As Pete started to get near the end of the script, he followed along with the book, having Mowgli get help from a hunter named Boldeo, who ended up being killed by Shere Khan. After the death of Boldeo, Mowgli would use Boldeo's gun to kill Shere Khan, becoming a hero for the village and the jungle. Disney thought this ending was too dark for a family movie and told Pete to change it. Pete refused, which resulted in him being fired. Disney then hired Larry Clemens to finish the concept for the movie. Clemens had previously written and animated various Disney shorts, and the short Winnie the Pooh and the Honey Tree. Disney instructed Clemens to focus on just the meat of the picture, establishing characters, and have fun with it. Most of what Pete had already written was discarded, except for the personalities of the characters. The new writers decided to reshape the original story. In the book, Mowgli goes between the village and the jungle, but the new script had Mowgli start in the jungle and end in the village. Disney continued being very involved in the creation of the film, helping create gags, develop sequences, and fleshing out characters. Clemens created the ending of the film, deciding that falling in love would be the only way Mowgli would leave the jungle.
So, this is one of those movies where it seems like the people who are with Disney stay with Disney, right? And it's kind of very similar to how it is nowadays, where it's kind of like Jon Favreau. You know, he's writing all these stories for like Star Wars, and he's staying with, like, he's in that universe and he's staying within that universe. That's like his thing. I think it's kind of cool that even back then in 1963, it's kind of like the same concept where we have these people who are working for Disney and they stick together, right, to keep on writing these stories.
Unless they disagree with Disney and they just get fired.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. Unless you're Bill Pete and then Walt's like, you disagree with me, then you're out of here.
I mean, good for Walt, though, because he had a vision and he stuck with it, and it ended up being like, that was a really good ending. I do remember the ending of that story when he puts the little thing on his head.
Yes.
What little thing? What are you talking about?
I don't know.
I know what you're talking about. I know what you're talking about.
Vividly remember that for some reason. And that just, it does make sense. You know, he's going through changes, and now he's interested in women instead of wolves. So going on.
Do you think that's kind of like a parallel to a young boy becoming a man?
I think they explicitly say that. Yeah.
Who? Man. Walt Disney?
I think that's what the story's about.
Well, yeah, because when he becomes man, he'll become dangerous.
Yeah. Which is sadly true.
Very true.
I guess that's the deeper message, right? The innocence.
Exactly.
Of children, right.
Do you know how we were talking about that earlier? What's the message? Maybe that's the message.
Okay. There we go. So the innocence. So all children are born innocent, right? But they're also born with, I guess if you want to get religious, original sin, right? So because when they get older, they still have that man instinct, and man is in like human being. And when he becomes a man, they get scared because they've seen the story before where, they get dangerous. They know how they learn how to create fire. Maybe it's about global warming.
It could be, I guess. They didn't even know what global warming was back in 1963.
Walt Disney was ahead of his time.
He was. That's true.
Now he's just ahead.
The Jungle Book included a soundtrack that featured 5 songs by Disney legends the Sherman Brothers and The Bare Necessity by Terry Gilkinson. The score was composed by George Burns. George Burns actually used melodies from Sleeping Beauty and Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs in part of the movie. The movie had many actors like George Sanders and Phil Harris. 3 of the voice actors, Sterling Holloway, Bruce Ritherman, and Sebastian Cabot, all previously worked for Disney on Winnie the Pooh and The Honey Tree. Walt Disney died in December of 1966, making The Jungle Book the last animated film Walt Disney worked on. The Jungle Book was released on October 18, 1967, and became an instant hit. The movie became Disney's second highest grossing animated film in the United States and Canada. It did very well with its international release, and also has been very successful whenever it is re-released. In 1968, Disney Records released More Jungle Book, a sequel written by Larry Simmons. Disney eventually released a live-action adaptation of The Jungle Book on December 25, 1994. The movie received positive reviews and grossed $43.2 million in theaters, while only costing $30 million to produce. In 2003, Disney released The Jungle Book 2, an animated sequel to the first animated film. Haley Joel Osment voiced Mowgli, and John Goodman voiced Baloo. In 2005, Robert Reese pitched The Jungle Book 3 to Disney, but the project was never greenlit. In 2016, Jon Favreau directed a live-action CGI remake of The Jungle Book, which had great reviews. Upon its success, Disney announced a sequel being developed, but nothing in regards to a sequel has been released as of late. The original Jungle Book animation was ahead of its time in 1967. Animators of Aladdin, Lilo and Stitch, and Tarzan all said they took inspiration from the design and animation. Many Disney animators like Brad Bird, Andreas Dea, Glenn Keane, and Sergio Pablos all said the Jungle Book inspired them to enter the animation business.
So now we're talking about a little bit of the music. I made a joke last episode off the top of my head without knowing anything. I said, because I was making fun of Alex, how he thought the Jungle Book came out in the 90s. In fact, it came out in the 60s. And I said the Beatles helped write some of the songs just because they were a band in the 60s. Turns out that the Beatles are actually like going to be working on the project.
Yeah.
They were supposed to be the four vultures. And
I mentioned that last week.
Yeah, Joe mentioned that.
About what? That they were
the vultures. He agreed with you.
They were going to be.
Oh, yeah. That was a total joke. Like, I was just joking because they were just a band in the 60s. But anyway, the four vultures look like them.
Yep. Because they were supposed to be them, but they couldn't work it out for some reason. But yeah, that 100%.
It's pretty crazy.
That you just made that coincidentally?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we're living in a simulation.
Well, you know, the Beatles were very popular during that time, so it wasn't really that far off, right? But you had no idea about the vultures. Is that what you're saying?
No. Okay. And then Alex was doing the history last night talking about the Beatles. Like, oh, dude, I was just joking about that. He's like, no, it's for real. Like they were going to be in the movie. I thought that was pretty funny. And also, I thought I loved the soundtrack to this movie. There's only two songs that I kind of remember looking through the soundtrack.
Yeah.
I Want to Be Like You and Bare Necessities. But those two songs are so good, and they're such staples in Disney culture, really.
Yeah.
The Bare Necessities of Life.
The two songs that you said that this movie had so many good songs.
It's all they needed. I'd rather listen to those two songs on repeat for 2 hours long. Give me 24 hours, then listen to one song in each act of a Big Blue World musical. All right.
So we should do something like that where you have to listen to the music for 24 hours, and all the money that we raise, we can donate it to Give Kids the World.
We're going to raise like $15. It's not going to be worth it. It'll be $15, and I'm going to go crazy.
Live stream. Ryan's saying live stream. You can live stream it.
But no, I think that says a lot about this movie, though, because, I mean, all the other filler songs are fun, but those two songs are iconic.
Bangers.
Yeah, they are. 100%.
Bangers. Yeah. So, Joe, now that you've read the history, you know, all these people were inspired by this movie to become animators because of how well it was done in that time. So does that make you think of more about it?
No, because I don't think how I like the movie. Of course. I mean, so of course it's going to inspire people because this is like one of the, you know, this is one of the originals, I guess you can say, right? It was way ahead of its time, right? 1967. Animators, you know, of Aladdin, Lilo and Stitch, Tarzan, all of those movies kind of took inspiration from this movie. Super cool. I mean, that's awesome, right? But still, it's not like my favorite Disney movie. I'm not a huge fan. It's okay. Like I will watch it. I will watch it. You know, coming up here, but still not one of my. It's not a go-to Disney movie for me. What I really want to do is because Ryan is saying in our Discord chat how much he likes the live-action movie.
Yeah,
I really want to watch the live-action movie.
You haven't seen a live-action movie?
I haven't seen a live-action movie.
Oh, my gosh, it's good.
It's so good.
It's good.
Yeah, it's really
good. Saying nine. He's saying watch it. I might, Ryan.
It's pretty good.
Well, Stranger Things is out, so I might want to watch Stranger Things. And after that, maybe. But he's saying nine. And then you were writing in the history here that people gave it really good ratings, a live-action. Yeah. So I kind of want to watch the live-action. That was like the original live-action or one of the, you know,
style.
This generation. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So,
yeah, the CGI. Yeah, because I was worried when it came out because I was like, oh, the CGI movies are not that great. But it came out, and I was like, wow, this is really good.
It's a little darker, correct?
Beautiful.
Yes, it's dark.
Yeah, so it's dark. Yeah, I can't wait to watch it.
Who plays King Louis? Christopher Walken's rendition of I Want to Be Like You is terrifying, but I still listen to it.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I didn't know Walken played him. I love Christopher Walken.
Yeah. Is he one of your favorite actors?
He is. He's probably in the top 10.
Oh God!
I'm running out of top people in the top 10.
I know, Bill Murray's the bear.
Yep, Bill Murray's the bear.
I love Bill Murray.
And then Idris Elba is Bagheera.
Yep.
For some reason, Scarlett Johansson is Ka.
Yes. Many Jungle Book characters appeared in the 1990-91 animated series Tailspin, an animated series named Jungle Cubs premiered in 1996 and told the stories of the animals of the Jungle Book as juveniles. There are two video games based on The Jungle Book. The 1993 game The Jungle Book was released for Super NES, Game Boy, and PC, with a version for the Game Boy Advance released in 2003. The Jungle Book Groove Party was released in 2000 for the PlayStation and PlayStation 2. Ka and Shere Khan both appeared in another Disney video game named Quackshot. Many of film's characters also appeared in The House of Mouse, Who Framed Roger Rabbit, Aladdin and the King of Thieves, and The Lion King 1.5.
Did you look any of that up, Alex? Because I'm curious about The Lion King 1.
I am also curious about Lion King 1.5. But no, I had not looked any of that. I don't know. I've only seen the movie like once, though. But yeah, no, I don't know.
I'm still very upset that House of Mouse is not on Disney Plus yet.
Yeah, it should be on there.
Yeah.
I think it's going to come out in a couple of years.
Okay, thank you.
Cool.
But you know something? Hold on. Before we move on to Quickfire Quick Facts, right? Super cool that it's cool that a lot of these characters did make it to other Disney movies, right? And Tailspin, which is a very popular. Tailspin, I mean, that's probably coming out next, right? I would
think a live action Tailspin.
Yeah, for sure.
That would be cool.
Yep. I think that'll be a fun one. Isn't what you call it in that? It's Blue.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. King Louie.
King Louie. Yep.
And who else? Isn't the guy from DuckTales in it?
He's in it. He's the pilot.
Is he?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, and Ka's in it too, I think.
Oh, yeah. Is Shere Khan in it?
Launchpad is in Tailspin, I believe.
He's Ryan is it. Saying yep. Launchpad is from.
Oh, dude.
From Tailspin.
Darkwing Duck. That'll be a good live action or a remake.
That would
to come
be awesome.
Out. That's coming out, man. That's gonna come out, no doubt. 100%.
Oh, Moby Dimple is in Tailspin. Wildcat. Shere Khan is in it.
Okay. So Trent put here that. In 1.5, Lion King, they appear in the theater audience while Timon and Pumbaa are rewinding the movie. Oh, I do remember that they were rewinding the movie.
That's cool.
I like that.
Yeah.
Disney always does things like that. You know, like in Frozen, they have like Goofy and Donald like walking into Arendelle and
little,
stuff like that.
Little Easter eggs or hidden Mickeys.
Easter eggs.
in Tailspin, Khan, Shere Khan is an extremely wealthy businessman and head of the corporation Khan Industries.
Con Industries, nice.
Yeah.
Quick fire, quick facts.
Let's go.
The Jungle Book sold 27.3 million tickets in Germany, making it the biggest film in regards of tickets sold. This is almost 10 million more than Titanic. Wow.
In December of 2010, Banksy made a piece of artwork commissioned by Greenpeace, which features the Jungle Book characters. It sold for £80,000. Or over $100,000.
In the book, the wolf family tells Mowgli his name means frog because he's hairless and won't sit still. Kipling also meant for the first syllable to rhyme with cow. So we've been saying his name wrong this whole time. Oh. It should be Cowgli.
Well, Mowgli, right?
Oh, yes.
Mowgli.
Cowgli was after he gained weight in the second movie.
Oh my gosh.
Mowgli.
In the book, Shere Khan had a cowardly jackal sidekick. Walt decided against including the character, not wanting another canine villain so soon after The Sword in the Stone.
The Jungle Book was released theatrically four times, 1967, 1987, 1997, and 2000.
And dominated every time it came out because it's so timeless.
Yeah, that's true.
In The Jungle Book, the ruins fall around King Louie revealing gold and jewels. This idea was taken from the second Jungle Book storybook.
Terry Gilkinson wrote six other songs for The Jungle Book that were not used. Brothers All, The Song of Swanee, Monkey See, Monkey Do, I Knew I Belonged to Her, In a Day's Work, and The Mighty Hunters.
Disney's animated film Robin Hood designed Little John after Baloo and used the same dance sequence between Baloo and King Louie for the Little John and Lady Klux dance. I've actually watched the video of those.
Me too.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Side by side,
it is really cool.
And then they and then
it's kind of lazy. They're lazy.
I was gonna say that too. Yeah, it's kind of lazy too.
But also, didn't they take a Mowgli scene from Christopher Robin from Winnie the Pooh?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about. Yep.
Yeah.
Vice versa? Was it that they who was first? Mowgli.
I thought the Winnie the Pooh was first because it was the one that was made before this. The we talked about in the history because all the voice actors were on the same movie.
Right. Right.
Winnie the Pooh and the Honey Tree. I think it was from that. I didn't really look into it because I thought we knew. Anyways.
How funny is it? Oh, go ahead.
But it's kind of like Pay It Forward, huh?
Yeah, I guess so. I guess like, what's that saying about copying things and being something about liking that? I don't know.
It is,
something about copying and people. It's a
biggest flattery.
Something like that.
Is mimicking is the biggest flattery, something like that?
Yeah, something like that. You get the point. What I think is funny is that you have these voice actors from Winnie the Pooh. You have like the most beloved, cute little bear, Winnie the Pooh. Like, yeah, we're going to cast him as the snake that tries to kill the little boy.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty funny.
I'm gonna eat you whole. Is that a terrible Winnie the Pooh impression?
No, it was a little better.
No, it's not bad, man.
A little better.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Imitation is greatest form of flattery. Thank you, Ryan.
There we go.
Now we know why you do so well in Wordle, because you know words. We here at DizHiz think The Jungle Book was an amazing animated film. The animation was ahead of its time, and the story and songs do a great job of keeping you entertained throughout the whole movie. This movie inspired a generation of animators that helped put Disney back on top. That's right.
So
they inspired animators that put Disney back on top. Without Jungle Book, Disney would be nothing, Joe. Nothing!
Alex does have a point, and I think it's kind of cool how much Jungle Book did for Disney. I was kind of shocked by this history. Like, I love Jungle Book. I think it's a cool movie, and I like Mowgli. But the actual what it did for Disney is like pretty surprising. I didn't think it had that much of an impact on like the film industry.
Sure, you're right.
It's kind of crazy.
It is. You're right. I just don't like it.
Who gets the magic point now?
I gave it a magic point.
It is true.
I am.
Who's what is that from? He's like, who's what does he say, that guy? Goes,
Who do you think you are?
I am.
Hey, this is AJ for the D Plus Club, where we cover all things Disney Plus. Each week I bring you the latest news and rumors, as well as what's new and what's coming soon to the Disney streaming service in the US and in the UK. And each week we have a weekly movie club, where between June 6th and 12th we'll be watching Lilo and Stitch. Share your thoughts in the weekly movie club room in the Sorcerer Radio Discord at srsounds.com/Discord, and I'll feature some of your comments on this week's podcast. You can find the D Plus Club on all major podcasting platforms, including the Sorcerer Radio website at srsounds.com/the D Plus Club, with new episodes every Sunday. See you there.
Hey, I'm Joe from the Diz Hiz.
And I'm Nick from Sandpiper Vacations.
We will be teaming up to give one of the best travel experiences ever.
I am a travel agent with Sandpiper Vacations. We are able to book any vacation destination around the world, including Disney, cruises, and all-inclusive resorts.
We have been working here at the Diz Hiz to become travel agents. And with our knowledge of the parks, we want to plan the best Disney trip for you.
Using us as a travel agent, we are updated on the latest and greatest information about all of the destinations. We can help save you time, stress, and sometimes some money. Using our services costs you absolutely nothing. It is completely free to you, and we are happy to assist you with giving you more value for your trip.
So if you're looking to book your next Disney trip, go to DizHiz.com. Check out DizHiz Destinations on the very top.
Check us out on Weeby Geeks, a new podcast website where you can find all your favorite geeky content. Just head over to WeebyGeeksPC.com. That's WeebyGeeksPC.com. And listen to all the other awesome podcasts, as well as Diz Hiz.
So, Chris, what did you do in the world of Disney? We're going to leave Kenobi for later, right? Besides Kenobi, did you watch Kenobi, Chris?
Yeah, I think that's all I did in the world. Oh, no, actually, so I did do something. It was my birthday this week.
What a loser. And,
happy birthday, by the way.
Thank you, Joe. And I don't even know how to say that. What to say to you, Alex? Wow, I don't even know what I'm saying. So for my birthday, I got a... I was having trouble with my Discord, but I was finally able to post a picture. My parents got me one of my gifts. They got me the Funko Pop of the 50th anniversary Disney castle, which is super cool. The only thing I'm going to have to take out of the box, because the box is like 4 feet by 4 feet without even exaggerating. It's epic.
Wow.
So I am going to have to take it out of the box, but it's really cool because it does have the alternate colors for the 50th anniversary. And he's got this little iridescent suit on. So that was cool. Mm-hmm. Other than that, I watched Obi-Wan, which we will talk about, I feel like, when you guys finish what you did in the world of Disney.
Yeah.
Which I can't wait to talk about.
Okay, how about you, Alex? What'd you do in the world of Disney?
We watched something this week. I'm trying to think what else we watched on D+.
Watched that new show yet?
The one you told me about?
Yeah.
No, I did not. The kids were not
into it. The Quest?
Yeah, I think that's what it is, right?
Yeah, The Quest.
It's like a reality show, right?
Yeah, I haven't watched it. I do want to watch it. I haven't watched it yet.
I won't watch it, but I'm interested in what you guys think of it since you have kids.
Mm-hmm. I can, when you're thinking about that, Alex, so what I did was I watched Willow, because, you know, this past weekend they kind of released some
footage for the new. I want to watch Willow, yeah.
Yeah, you haven't seen it before?
I saw it a long time ago.
Mm-hmm. Well, I watched it again. So it's probably one of my favorite, like, for real, one of my favorite movies.
Really?
I was watching the trailer for for the new one coming out, and I get chills watching it because I love the movie growing up. I just watched it, you know, Nick watched the end of it. I love Val Kilmer in that movie. I love Mad Mardigan. He's such a great character. I love Willow, great character. I love the little brownies. It's a great movie. George Lucas wrote the story for that movie.
Really?
Not only did he write the story, Ron Howard directed it. Right?
Oh, wow.
So it's unbelievable. Like, the music's just great. Great movie. Definitely recommend watching Willow if you haven't. Yeah, you need to. You haven't seen it yet, Chris?
No, I've never really actually. I think I've heard of it, but I haven't, I've never had an opportunity to watch it.
Chris,
you
know, you would really like the movie because it's about a guy about your size.
As soon as I brought the picture up, I knew there was going to be some sort of reference to me.
I also watched the trailer for it, and it made me want to watch the original because I remember maybe not liking it that much. Mm-hmm. But it was a long time ago.
Did you like Lord of the Rings?
No.
It has that type of feel to it, so you might not like it.
I know, which is crazy because I love D&D, but whatever. Anyways.
It has very similar. Yeah, that is really weird.
I know.
It also has like a little bit of like a Harry Potter feel to it,
too. I hate Harry Potter.
I see. Yeah. Because the whole thing is like there's like a queen and there's like a prophecy type thing. And she's trying to kill like all the girl babies in the kingdom. And one gets away.
Wow. Very biblical.
Yeah.
1988. It looks pretty good. I was watching a little bit of it on IMDb. A little bit of the trailer. It looks pretty good for 1988.
It's great. It's good.
No, I like Harry Potter now. I've watched Harry Potter recently. I liked it. I didn't like it as a kid because I looked like Harry Potter, so people call me Harry Potter.
Yeah, I mean, you look like more like Ron Weasley, but okay, I guess Harry Potter.
I had shaggy, long brown hair and glasses. That's all you needed back then.
Anyways, they called me Dobby.
So
they called you Dobby?
People kept throwing socks at me in school.
Please, Harry Potter, don't hurt me.
I have so many,
Harry Potter,
I have so many single socks.
Oh, Dobby's
did you,
stupid.
Is that true?
Dobby's a stupid man. Dobby's stupid.
Okay.
I also watched the trailer for Pinocchio. Did you watch the trailer for Pinocchio?
Oh,
no,
yeah, looks good.
Not yet.
Looks really good.
They didn't show Pinocchio, but they just
really?
Yeah, they didn't show Pinocchio yet, but a lot of Jimmy Cricket in this one.
That's Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Yeah, I'm really excited about that.
Is it really?
Yeah, I looked up because as soon as I saw the trailers coming out, I was like, oh, I got to see this cast, see who plays Jiminy Cricket, and it's Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Oh, nice. That's cool.
I don't know the last big movie he was in.
Third Rock from the Sun.
Yeah.
Hmm?
Third Rock from the Sun.
I don't know what that means.
You've never seen that TV show? So, okay. So not only did I do that, right? What I did was I put together a little mini Disney castle.
Oh, finally. Wasn't that fun?
Yeah, it was awesome.
How
Nick
cool
and I did
that.
How cool
was the inside of the with the little people and the painting?
Yeah, it's definitely like a lot of work going onto the inside when it's not really you don't see
you
the
can't
inside.
See it. You can't see
it's
it.
Crazy,
at all.
Yeah. Right?
It's crazy,
right? That's what Disney
can't
does.
See it at all.
It's ridiculous, and it's so like I have like kind of fat fingers, so helping Christine's like I need help, and I was trying to help her, and I like destroyed it as I'm trying to help her because it's so tiny, and I'm trying to like put these little pieces together, and I just destroy them.
It was hard for me too.
But also, I also watched Obi-Wan. Joe watched Obi-Wan. So let's get into Obi-Wan. Spoiler alert.
I watched
We're going to watch. spoiler alert. We're going to be talking about Obi-Wan, the new series. New episode just came out last week. New one comes out. What day does it come out? Friday?
Today. It's out today.
Oh, get out of here. Really?
Yeah, today.
Yep. Oh, wow. Okay.
Before we get started, we're only going to be talking about episodes 1 and 2.
Yes.
Episode 3, like we just said, just released today. We will not be talking about that. So episodes 1 and 2. The first thing I want to say about this is, it's giving me a lot of, I don't know if you guys are comic book fans enough to read Old Man Logan, but if you saw the movie Logan, it's pretty similar to the comic. In the comic, you had Wolverine who didn't want to use his claws and he just refused to use his claws and wanted to be a normal person. because mutants were like, I think the mutants were being hunted down and stuff. So anyway, he didn't want to use his claws. And I feel like we saw a lot of that in Obi-Wan. The first full episode was him not doing anything. And then finally, when he had to save Leia, he uses, and it looked like it took all, you know, everything he had to be able to use the Force for the first time in 10 years. And it's kind of crazy because, like, if I could use the Force, I'd be doing it to brush my teeth. I'd be doing it to get dressed. I mean, like, this guy, what, he has a lot of restraint. I mean, because I'd be doing that for everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wait, and then can we just, before I stop talking, can we just talk about that little shovel he brings to the middle of the desert? Come on, man. That's a really small shovel, you know, to be digging.
When
you carry around a big shovel in the desert?
It's hot. Buried it 10 years ago.
When I first saw it, I was like, when that scene happened, I was like, how does he know exactly where he buried it? And I was like, oh, yeah, he's a Jedi.
Yeah. That was a very small shovel for the amount of digging he probably had to do to get to that lightsaber. Why didn't he just use the Force to bring it up, too?
Because he doesn't use the Force.
He was going to use it anyway.
He didn't know that.
And why is he trying to talk to Qui-Gon if he's not using the Force?
Yeah.
Well, hold on one second. Let's get something straight. First off, he's not using the Force because he doesn't want to give away he's a Jedi. Right.
Well, he's trying to talk to Qui-Gon in his quarters. Why can't he? Use his little room.
Well, he's trying to. I mean, he wants to use it. I feel like he's not against using the Force when he needs to. Right.
No, I think he was against using it. I think he was just talking. I think he was just talking out loud to someone, as if he knows they're there, but not trying to connect with them using the Force.
No, because Yoda, like in the recap, Yoda's like, "I will teach you how to talk to your old master." That was really good, and it hurt really bad.
That was pretty good, Yoda. First off, I just want to say I really love how they make connections to the old Star Wars like movies, right? Like, I love how they did, like, you know, what happened after Luke and Leia after they were kind of separated off in their planets, right? And obviously, in 4, New Hope, Princess Leia knows who Obi-Wan Kenobi is.
I'm glad you brought that up, and she calls him Ben.
Yeah, and guess what? They made that connection. Like, everyone's like, "How did she know? Like, how did she know? Like, what's the story
behind
that?"
See, I wasn't sure. She did know who he was.
Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. You're my only
hope. Oh yeah.
She calls him Ben in that movie too. A lot of people are like, "Oh, you're retconning, Leia. You're just fan service and this." No, it's actually filling some holes. Where, like,
yes,
when you
man.
First watch that first movie, it's like, how does she know who he is?
Right.
It makes sense.
Yeah,
and they're doing a great job of filling those holes.
I think they're doing a great job of connecting it all. Did you guys watch the recap before you watched the first episode?
I do that for almost everything now because it helps so much because you remember a lot of the stuff that you forget. But this one is especially cool because it was like the whole prequels.
Yeah, I was watching it and I was like, wow, how long is this? 15 minutes. Because I feel like the recap was going on very long. But it was cool how they were tying it all. I was wondering if they were going to add in some of the Obi-Wan from the Clone Wars, because that had to do a lot with Obi-Wan. And I was like, you know, it'd be sick if they filmed some of him playing parts of Obi-Wan from Clone Wars.
I'm wondering if we'll get flashbacks. Yeah, I'm wondering, like, if we'll get flashbacks.
Live action Clone Wars flashbacks would be sweet.
Very cool. Mine's unrelated.
I also liked how they reuse actors. Like, they use the original uncle.
They brought him back.
Like,
Smits.
He was in like 2 seconds in the movie and they're like, no, we gotta have him back. He's gotta play the same role, baby.
That was awesome because I love him as an actor.
He played
a really good role in Dexter.
Really?
Yeah.
And he was in West Wing. He was the president in the very last season of West Wing.
Jimmy Smits is a big TV actor, yeah.
Wow, I didn't know.
Yeah, so much so that I know his name. I do want to talk about this because I just feel like I need to talk about it since it was...
Chase scene?
No. Since it was... It's just being very... being talked about a lot in the news. And I think it's disgusting. The Moses Ingram, the African American woman who plays Inquisitor Reva.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people are awesome.
Yes, she's very
totally
cool.
Enjoyed like her character.
But yeah. there's people online saying like racist things about her and this and that. It's ridiculous.
Wait, what do you mean saying racist things about her?
Oh, stuff I can't even repeat.
Like they're being racist towards her.
Yes, man.
Star Wars.
It's disgusting.
Star Wars just tweeted out a message from Ewan McGregor, like saying, like, you know, him defending her, and a lot of people hate her and say she's a horrible actress, and
what?
And it's crazy because she's playing a what I think is a really good role, and and like her last couple her last project, she was in The Queen's Gambit, which won all those awards, but she was also in The Tragedy of Macbeth, which was like very, very like highly reviewed. It was an Apple TV series with Denzel Washington. It was a movie with Denzel Washington, Apple TV's put out. Like, she's not a random low level actress. Like, she's a she's an up and coming, like, good actress, and people are like bashing her, and it's disgusting.
But I don't understand, because she's doing a great awesome job. Character.
I know. And I think just race is why people are saying that she's not. It's disgusting. But I just wanted to bring that up because I think it's so dumb. And I love how Star Wars is like jamming diversity. Like, they cast I'm gonna mispronounce his name.
Kumanji,
he's from Kumanji. Kumail Nanjiani.
I was gonna bring that up. That was I thought that was so awesome how he was in there. From it was good.
You have an Asian person, Sung Kang. Inquisitors. As one of the Inquisitors.
What is he from? Is he from something? He looked familiar to me a little bit.
Yeah, he looks like he could be from like bring this up. He is from Fast and Furious. Yeah, he's the he's Han or Han. I don't know his name in Fast and Furious. He's the one of the main characters.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. Flea. And I hate to break these people who are saying who hate that what were you saying? Did you say something that I missed?
I said they had Flea.
I don't know what that means.
You don't know who Flea is?
No.
He was the bad guy.
He was the he was the one of the
in Fast and Furious?
No, in the show. He had Flea, the bassist of Red Hot Chili
from
Peppers.
From Red Hot Chili Peppers.
One of the henchmen in Back to the Future.
I forget.
Yeah, I know you're talking about.
He was the lead henchman in the movie, in the show. The guy with the rat tail.
I see Flea as Vecna Crew. Okay.
Yeah, but what you were saying, Chris, right, is that the people who are complaining, they lost the battle already.
I know.
They lost. I know. You know, they lost the battle.
It's just a
shame. It is a shame. But it's over.
I wonder if they know who voices Darth Vader.
Man, they're gonna big spoiler alert.
Oh my gosh. But you know, Finn, you know, took a lot of heat because they're kind of speaking out about it too, from the new Star Wars movies. Mm-hmm. Like, he took a lot of heat because of, because of this. And there's also an Asian actor who I'm trying to find her name. And was it Rose, maybe?
She
took
character.
A lot of racist stuff too, man. Like, you know, it's unbelievable what's going on, right?
Yeah, nothing having to do with race. She was just a trash character, but that's okay.
No, she was. I liked her character.
It was such a dumb subplot. But anyway, back
did
to
she,
did
she did she throw the immolate the did she throw the what's the word I'm looking for? The necklace back in the water.
She did have
at the
a necklace in the thing. She did actually.
And she threw it back in the water at the end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so.
And she's like,
but you know, and Trent posted something. There are 20 million, like, you know, so many species in Star Wars in the galaxy, right? And people are like, I'm not sure if people are thinking through what they're, and that's what the issue is that people are not thinking. They're not thinking.
So the only thing I'm racist against is the Sith.
Yeah. They're complaining about her, but they're not complaining about Mr. Pasty, her guy, her leader, who she ended up taking out.
They complain about everything. People are just complaining about everything.
But, dude, that character you guys are talking about, like, I haven't had this happen in a while, but when she was talking to the people of the village, and that lady's like, the Empire has no say here, and she just cut that lady's hand off. I said, holy crap. And it was like insane.
She's intense. She's an intense character, right?
She's ruthless, and I love it. She's like the Gus Fring of Star Wars.
Yeah, yeah. And what about her having the Force?
Yeah.
What do you mean, have the Force?
Right? I thought that was super cool.
She could be a former Jedi.
But yeah, that's what he said. They said the Inquisitors are former Jedis.
Yeah, well, they said a lot of them are, yeah.
Oh.
Did you see all the crumbs, by the way?
Crumbs?
What do you mean?
Crumb, Jabba the Hutt's little Jabba the Hutt's little creature thing.
Oh,
there was like
no.
a bass. There was like a cage full of them, and they were walking down the.
I like
street.
That.
I feel like there's going to be a lot of Easter eggs in this show.
I like that Obi-Wan has a Jawa as a roommate.
Yeah.
That was funny.
Oh, one more thing, because we've talked a lot about this already, but that toy that Obi-Wan puts on the step, that's in Luke's room.
Oh, is it?
Oh, yeah, is it really?
In the original trilogy.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely great. Can't wait to see where it goes. I love the connections that they're making.
It's what we've been waiting for. And yeah. I think it's safe to say that I think Luke Hamill is Mark Hamill. Gosh. Luke Skywalker.
Okay.
To the people of the generation that grew up with the original Star Wars, I feel like Obi-Wan is now becoming that important to our generation. Because we grew up with Obi-Wan being the hero Star Wars.
Yeah.
Not Luke. Luke is cool and all to see, but Luke has no emotional. I have no emotional attachment to Luke. Obi-Wan, however, like seeing him back on the screen.
Especially with the Clone Wars and stuff like that, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That was we grew up with Obi-Wan. Obi-Wan is our Luke Skywalker. And it's really cool to see him back. And I hope that, you know, that he does more projects or they make more projects about Obi-Wan in the future. We'll see.
I think eventually what they'll do is they'll change the original trilogy.
Yeah,
Obi-Wan in the whole movie, in the whole first episode.
I know what you're talking about.
So
what's really cool and I'm really looking forward to is there's obviously going to be a fight between Darth Vader and Obi-Wan, right?
Yes.
So I can't wait because in the original trilogy, the fight scenes were, you know, very, very minimal. But now they're like, and they were talking, Hayden Christensen was saying, like, you're going to see a very angry Darth Vader. It's going to be kicks and stuff like that. It's going to be so I'm really excited for that because seeing Vader in Rogue One for like 2 seconds was like amazing.
Yes.
So I can't wait to see him in this, especially that end scene in episode 2, where you just see, you see Obi-Wan's face and then you see Anakin's face. It's just really, really good stuff.
You know, speaking of Rogue One, did you see the trailer for the other Star Wars show coming out?
I saw pictures of it, the cartoon.
No, live action.
Andor?
Yes, starring the guy from Rogue One.
Yeah, I'm not real excited about that, just because I
think it'll
really
be kind of cool. I think it'll be fun.
I'm going to watch it. I think it'll be great. I'm going to have to rewatch Rogue One to remind myself of his character. I haven't seen it since the release. It's a good movie.
It's all right. Like I said before, I'd watch anything Star Wars. Give me a detective show. Just a cop guy on Tatooine. I don't care. Just give me a rom-com somewhere. I don't care. If it's Star Wars, I love it.
Oh, one more Easter egg. The guy who plays Boba Fett.
Yes.
Was one of the, sitting as a clone veteran on the street.
You know what? And I was thinking, how is he able to do that? Because if he's a clone veteran and he's defected, which means because he doesn't work for the Empire. So why is he allowed to be on that planet as a defector? Because it's ran by Empire because they're walking the streets with guns, which means Empire are running it or, you know, protecting it or whatever. And he's a defector from the Empire because he's not working for them anymore. So why is he allowed to beg like that? They should capture him and kill him or put him back in the service.
They never worked for Empire. They were just
as soon as Order 66 happened.
Yeah,
they worked
for
the Empire.
But that was the Republic.
Which became the Empire.
I know, but it's not the same people.
It is the same people.
It's Palpatine, but
the same organization.
All the clones didn't become stormtroopers.
What do you mean? Why would they not become stormtroopers?
No, it's just not the way it works.
Yes, it is. They had full control over them. Once
why wouldn't they just keep their why wouldn't they just keep their suits then? Why'd they switch them?
Because
they're not the same.
They got new suits and they started recruiting live like real people to replace the clones that died. They couldn't get more clones, so they had to replace them.
That's the His on the Jungle Book. I'm Joe.
I'm Alex.
I'm Chris.
Thanks for listening and have a magical week. Please follow us on all social media by searching DizHiz65. Share us and subscribe to our podcast to get the latest show when it is available. If you want to help us out, get tips, get your memories shared on the podcast, see pictures and videos of what we are up to at the parks, join our goof troop on patreon.com and search for DizHiz.
Trying to grab all the groceries in one trip? Oof, not how you would have done that. You know sometimes less is more. Like when you drive less and save with the USAA annual mileage discount. USAA, get a quote today.